that ability to not pass judgment on what comes out of their mouth is a future invitation for them to share more news with you.
Great.
So I'll start with this question, Cameron.
Okay.
The question is, why are people so easily offended? Maybe that's not the question. Let's think of another way to approach this, I guess.
I'll tell you why people are offended. Because they're offended.
Oh, stop.
Because they're offended.
Oh, stop.
Because they're stupid. Come on. I think I covered them all.
You just offended everybody.
So honestly, though, I think the reason people are easily offended is because they assume that the other person is like themselves and are uncaring. It's actually those who take offense easily are generally, and there's a difference, by the way, in my opinion, from being hurt, having your emotions hurt, and being offended. And you can have your feelings hurt and not be offended. And you can be offended without having your feelings hurt.
I can agree.
People who are offended, they think the worst of others because they themselves are not doing great in life, in my opinion.
So what you're saying, I'll rephrase this in a nutshell. They're projecting the way they see the world on other people. And the other people,
I think that's right,
may have different, how did you put it, motives. And they might think their motives are similar to their own. The other people's motives are similar to their own. I'll give you an example of
this. Yeah. And this
is interesting because.
Okay, go ahead.
One of the most interesting things I ever had happen to me was, you know, I used to, way back when before I had kids, I would see, and I was married, and maybe my kids were little bitty. I would see other kids acting up, and I would, you know, because I didn't know any better, I would kind of pass judgment on the parents and say, what kind of parents are those people? Right. And
right
in my mind, I never said anything, and I tried not to look at people cross. I didn't want to, you know, but that was what was going on in my mind. Right. And then when my kids came along and were acting crazy in public, and I saw somebody just glance at me, I thought they were judging me. And it was because, I'm guessing, that was how I saw them back in the day. Now, what became really interesting was the minute my more severe son on the spectrum came along and he was completely out of control, crazy. And I realized that I couldn't care what other people think if I was going to serve him properly. So I pretty much... if somebody stared at us when he was having a meltdown in public, I didn't care. I had too much, my hands were too full with my own son to care what other people were thinking, right? And interestingly enough, that was about the time that I realized when I saw other kids misbehaving, I had no judgment myself. The minute I stopped judging other people, I didn't feel judged. Right.
Now that is interesting. Yeah. And, you know, I think it's interesting because you changed my mind. I was going to say that maybe it's even a little deeper than that. Those who think they can understand someone else's motivations can get offended easily. But based on your story, I don't think that's true because you probably still think you can understand the other person's motivation.
I look at them differently and I tell myself, you know, I don't really know what's going on over there. I mean, they could be the perfect parent and have a child like my son who was completely out of control. And I'm not saying I was a perfect parent, but they could be.
Yeah.
I wasn't.
Yep.
But I was so wrapped up in helping him, I just didn't care. I didn't feel judged anymore because I didn't care if they did. I just didn't care if they did. I wanted to put my attention on him and helping him. And I didn't feel judged anymore, right? And I don't know what comes first, the chicken or the egg. Because I didn't feel judged, maybe I wasn't so judgmental, or maybe because I decided, you know what? I don't know what's going on with them. I know what's going on with me, and it ain't easy. And I don't know what's going on with them, so I'm not going to judge them. And maybe that was made me feel not judged either, right? And I just didn't care anymore. And maybe not feel judged is not the right word. I just didn't care if they did or not, right? I didn't have time to focus on their feelings about me or what I assumed their feelings were. I had to focus on my son. And maybe that's kind of what you're saying too, is if you're working at something, why be offended? You're working at it. Maybe you know, right? That you don't care if they're looking at you weird because you're working at it. Or you're trying to figure it out. You know? I don't know. I also have this other thought in my mind, which is if somebody offends me, if I feel like somebody hurt my feelings or offends me, and I don't really get offended much, but I think, why am I offended? What is it about me that I need to fix so that I feel like they can't hurt me? You know what I'm saying? So I always look at it from that perspective. Like if somebody upsets me, I go, why did I let them upset me? Why did I let them upset me? Maybe it's something I need to work on because they're upsetting me and I really shouldn't let people I don't know upset me. Or what do I need to figure out about myself that don't lack confidence in or don't understand? And it helps me, you know, like you said, to not really, we don't want to apply motives to other people's actions. And that's really the first step in the whole process. But stepping away from it and saying, okay, if somebody's able to hurt my feelings, then I have some lack of confidence in some area, or I'm not trying hard enough, or maybe I need to figure out something I can fix, or so that next time somebody says it, I'm not offended or hurt by it because I'm trying, right?
One of my teachers, Craig Impey, in high school, had this quote, and he said, "Those who take offense when offense was not intended are fools. Those who take offense when offense is intended are bigger fools." And I just love that quote, you know?
Yeah, I've got another quote for you.
Okay.
And I'm pulling it up on my desktop because this is one I heard that I thought was fantastic. "Those who boast about being brutally honest are usually more brutal than honest."
Ooh. That's really cool.
That is cool, isn't it?
I was watching a YouTube clip. There's a gal on YouTube, and man, I wish I had a better memory. She is on the spectrum, and she works as a technician or a therapy technician for others on the spectrum. And she describes herself as the one who can bridge the gap because she is on the spectrum. She has autism spectrum disorder. And she works with those who are more severe, but she totally relates to them. And she puts out these YouTube clips all the time. One of my favorites was about being brutally honest. And she said, "Listen, if you're it's okay to be honest, but it's not okay to be brutal. So you need to figure out how to be honest without being brutal." And she gave some great examples, just really quick. And it was a minute long clip, just well done. And she also did this other one on how to help remember to take your meds. And it was such a genius little technique that she had. And I've been following her for a few months now. And she, every one of her little videos usually deals with, hey, if you're neurotypical, this is how to translate and interpret what's going on. If you're not neurotypical, this is what's going on. And she's able to understand both motivations or innate needs. And that also helps probably her not ever get offended.
That's interesting. There's two things I'm thinking about now. One is this, is, you know, there's this saying in the autism world that if you've met one person with autism, you've met one person with autism, right?
Yeah.
I'm not offended by the idea that somebody could be a bridge, right? I like that. That's interesting to me. That seems like that could make perfect sense to me, right?
Yeah.
Now, there are a lot of people that would say, yeah, but she's one person. If she thinks she's like the 100,000 other people, there's no way she's a bridge, because she is one person on the spectrum. There's no way she can call herself the bridge between neurotypical and autism. There's no way, right? And I'm grinning because when we do that, we close the door to opportunities to learn, right? We say, no, not me,
yeah,
not my situation. That won't work for me. My situation is different and completely unique. And by the way, they're right. It's completely unique. But you've just closed the door that may have opportunity for us to figure stuff out, right? To understand different things. But there's a whole world of people that would be offended by her calling herself the bridge.
And I don't think she called herself the bridge.
Yeah.
She called herself a bridge. That's a big difference.
It is. Okay? But the same people that I just described would still have the same. You know, you are right. You are absolutely correct. A bridge. But now there has to be a million bridges, and I have to find my bridge exactly for me to listen, right? If I take that approach. And the chances of that are very tricky.
And I would say that they are correct for themselves.
Yeah.
It is not going to work until they find the perfect bridge and pour them. And their life is going to stink for a very long time, because there is no perfect bridge except for Jesus Christ. And he's the best advocate. And if they're not willing to allow someone else to be a substitute or to stand as the lower light, one of my favorite hymns of all time is "Let the Lower Lights Be Burning." And it talks about the role of Christ up here, the bright shining light. And we might not be that bright shining light, but we can be the lower light. It's much dimmer, but it is still useful to help people orient and get closer to Christ. Because if they can line up the bright light with your little meager dim light, that equals safe passage. And if someone says, hey, no, I want the brightest light and I want two bright lights, no, sorry. You're gonna be in a world of hurt as the wind starts to toss the seas. You're gonna be capsized.
This is a perfect segue into what I really wanted to talk about.
Okay.
Hey, because what I'm gonna do is upset some people, because I'm going to challenge subconscious thinking.
Okay.
Okay. And I'll start by, you and I, one of the things I wanted to talk to you about was, you had mentioned your wife said something about you one time.
Mm-hmm.
And what was it, Cameron?
She says a lot of things about me all the time. So what is it that
I'm talking about?
You're referring to
how you are a robot with your emotions. That specific.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she said that I'm a robot and I don't have emotions.
Yes.
And I definitely have emotions.
Okay.
I just sometimes I can't express them the way that she would recognize them, nor are sometimes it's not appropriate for me to allow them to dictate any type of reaction, because the situation demands emotionless action.
And this is where it's going to get interesting. Okay. Because my wife,
okay,
I used to be accused of being cold for the exact same reasons that you just described. Okay.
Okay.
My wife said, you're cold and unfeeling. And I said, no, I have emotions. I just am more conscious of how, just what you said. You said it beautifully, right? You said, sometimes my emotion that I'm feeling is not going to be productive in this certain situation, and I don't express the emotion, right?
Yep.
Because I realize